Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Stan. I appreciate that. And it's good to be with you guys this afternoon. And I just hope that God speaks to your heart through this message. But first, I didn't know if anybody heard about the set of identical twins that were born in Rome. See, as soon as they were born, they were given up for adoption. And one of the identical twins was taken to Spain, where he was named Juan. And another was taken to Saudi Arabia, and he was named Amal. Juan and Amal never knew each other during their lives, but when they became young men, they began to trace their roots and discovered they had a brother. So they arranged to meet their biological families in Rome. Well, it was an exciting day for all the family members. They were at the airport as Juan arrived. They were so happy to see Juan, they greeted him as their long-lost relative. Then they found out Amal's plane had been delayed. But see, the family had to leave. Somebody said to one of the family members, "You wait here, and when Amal arrives, bring him to our family reunion." They said, "Well, I've never seen Amal before. How in the world will I recognize him?" They said, "That's easy. Once you've seen Juan, you've seen Amal." Oh, boy. Now, you might be saying to yourself, how is he going to make this transition? Well, see, this semester of Huddle, we are studying the book, A Man After God's Own Heart. And this week, we are looking at a heart that serves the church. And more specifically, spiritual gifts. The key verse to this chapter is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But see, I would like us to get some context. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to begin by reading verse 1, and I'll go through verse 11. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or the other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines." See, the good news is that in the Christian life, in the church, there is no such thing as spiritual identical twins. Nobody is exactly alike in the body of Christ. We are totally different, and you and I are a gifted child of God. God has gifted us to serve the Lord, and that's what we're talking about, spiritual gifts. But the Bible teaches clearly that every born-again believer is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a servant. And if you are a born-again believer, you are a minister of the Lord. You might be saying right now, now wait a minute, I'm not ministering. Well, that's probably because you have not discovered your spiritual gifts and you are not using them in your ministry. Because once you discover what your spiritual gifts are, it won't be a tedious job. It will be a joy to serve the Lord. This afternoon, we're going to look at a heart that serves the church. And a heart that serves the church uses their spiritual gifts. See, I love Jim George's quote. Start where you are, do anything you can do, and do everything you can do until you find something you must do. That something is probably your spiritual gift. What he is saying here is you are trying to do some kind of ministry in which you are not gifted. It will be frustrating, tiring, and draining experience. But when you discover what your spiritual gifts are, and then you begin to plug them into the body, you'll receive such joy and excitement. See, the 2018 Winter Olympics will be coming to a close at the end of this week. We have seen numerous athletes win medals in all kinds of different sports. But could you ever imagine in your wildest dreams one athlete competing in all the different competitions? See, people specialize in different athletic events, and they train in that one event. The same is true with the body of Christ. There is no one member of the body of Christ who possesses all the spiritual gifts, who can perform in all areas of ministry. But in the body, in the church, God has gifted everyone. I believe in our local body, there is every gift of the Holy Spirit so that the body of Christ can function. So in the rest of our time together this afternoon, I want to make three statements about a Spirit-filled Christian. The first is a Spirit-filled Christian will understand spiritual gifts. I want to talk a moment about what spiritual gifts are. First of all, they are spiritual, not material. See, when we think of a gift, we usually think of something we can hold, look at, and understand what it is. Spiritual gifts are not material. We're not talking about God giving us money. We're not talking about God giving us some kind of material blessing. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability, not a natural talent. The best definition of a spiritual gift I've come across is this. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability God has given you to minister in the body. Pretty simple, isn't it? See, you look over here at Andy and you think, boy, he is really gifted playing the piano. I hate to say it, but what he has is a natural talent he has developed, and singing or playing the piano is not a spiritual gift. Sometimes we think, well, I can't sing and I can't play the piano. But Andy, he can use the gifts God has given him. Perhaps he has the gift of encouragement and he can express that through his music. But we may look at somebody who plays the piano or sings like a canary and we say, well, gosh, I'm not gifted like they are. Many times what they have are natural talents, and spiritual gifts are not natural talents. They are supernatural abilities. We won't find singing in any list of spiritual gifts. We could have Neil Diamond singing, and he could probably out-sing most of us here, but that's not a supernatural gift. That's a talent that he has. Spiritual gifts are given to energize the body of Christ. See, that's the key. The body of Christ still exists on planet Earth. Just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ walked around. He had legs, he had hands, he had eyes, and he had a mouth. The church today is the body of Christ. Today, Jesus Christ has legs. He has hands to feed the poor, to help hurting people. He has a mouth to speak his truth. It's just his body is this corporate group of all believers. We are the body of Christ. See, Jesus Christ was crucified. He was buried. He was resurrected. He ascended back into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to energize his body. So his body is still active today. But when we, as part of the body of Christ, refuse to exercise our gifts, it's like a paralyzed part of a person's body. See, who is the head? That's Jesus Christ. And Jesus is trying to give message to us as the brain gives messages to the body. And if we, as a member of the body of Christ, don't move and minister in obedience to his directive, in a real sense, we paralyze a portion of the body of Christ. The second statement I'd like to make is that a spirit-filled Christian will utilize at least one spiritual gift. Every one of us here has at least one spiritual gift. How do I know that? Because of the key verse that Jim George uses, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Some of you may think when Jesus was passing out gifts, he kind of skipped over me. Maybe you were hiding that day and he just missed you. Maybe you thought you held out your hand, but you didn't receive anything. Well, let me tell you, if you are a believer, you have received at least one spiritual gift. So when did we get it? See, we receive natural talents, or at least the potential to perform natural things, when we were born physically. And the same is true for spiritual gifts. When we were born again spiritually, God gave us the innate supernatural ability to minister. Those gifts may have been lying dormant in our lives for years and years, but they are there. See, when you bring a baby home from the hospital, that baby has within its muscles and mind the ability to drive a car. It's just the will of this child is not fulfilled for about 16 years. We don't dare put an infant behind the wheel of a steering wheel of a car unless you have a father by the name of Tex Cooper. See, when this child gets ready to drive, they don't go back to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I need more parts because I'm ready to drive now." No, it's there in something they have developed. And when we are born again, the Holy Spirit of God gives us a supernatural birthday present, a spiritual birthday present, a spiritual gift. They could have been lying there covered up for many, many years. Our job is to discover what those gifts are and begin to use them so we will utilize them. I want us to see the diversity of the gifts because there are different kinds of workings. The Bible uses three words for spiritual gifts, but if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says there are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working, but there is one God, one Lord, one Spirit. This is saying there is great unity in our diversity. I'm so glad that none of you are like me. And I know that you're glad that none of you are like me. Wouldn't it be terribly boring if the church was full of Sean Coopers? See, some of you, and quite possibly most of you, have discovered your spiritual gift and are using them right now in the ministry. When you use it, it seems you are energized by the Holy Spirit, and it seems like a good is accomplished, and the body of Christ is built up. when you are trying to do the wrong thing, that's not what is happening. And that's what spiritual gifts are for. Diversity leads to unity. And when we aren't utilizing our gifts and utilizing the gifts that we've been given, it's not happening. So it's imperative we find out what our spiritual gift is so we can all work together. And the last thing I want to point out this afternoon is that a spirit-filled Christian will use their gifts to serve others. See, spiritual gifts are for employment, not enjoyment. See, a little over a year ago, I was working for Chrysler in layout. I had ministry and I was very comfortable. I was also serving outside Chrysler with Godspeed Ministry as a chaplain for the Professional Drag Racing Association. However, God called me to another direction. He called me to preach. See, I don't preach for my enjoyment. To be honest, I really get worked up before I preach. My stomach turns. In fact, it probably does more flips than the U.S. gymnastics team. See, I preach because God called me to do it, and He has gifted me to do it. That's my part in the body of Christ. We have spiritual gifts, and we are to use those gifts to serve the Lord in employment. They are not for our personal enjoyment. See, they are always to help other people, never in selfish ways, but always in unselfish ways. Here's another distinction about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are by God's sovereignty, not our selection. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 says, all of these, meaning all of these gifts, are the work of the one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each man just as He determines, not as we desire. Some say, well, here are the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, teaching, preaching, mercy, giving, and faith. I think I want this gift. I want the gift of wisdom, or I want the gift of knowledge. Hey, I want the gift of tongues, or let's see, I want the gift of faith. They almost use it like a shopping list, saying, I want that one, I don't want that one, I want that one, I don't want that one. It is not our selection. It's not up to you, and it's not up to me. It is not up to us individually to desire or to seek any one gift or to avoid any one gift. It is up to God to give it to us as He determines. See, there is a list in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 6 through 8. And verse 28 says, In the church, God has appointed first all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, all those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. See, there's another list. There's also a list in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, and a short list in 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. From these four different lists, some gifts appear on all lists and some appear only once. There are about 18 different spiritual gifts that are mentioned. And I believe everybody in this room, every born-again believer, has at least one of those 18 gifts that you need to use in service for the Lord. How wonderful it is when the gifts are working together. But there is a warning I need to give you as I begin to wrap things up. It is possible to seek an experience instead of the Lord. Anything that has to do with ministry of the Holy Spirit, anything that is supernatural in nature, tends to make people curious, and they want to look into it for the sake of the experience itself. See, I'll be the first one to tell you that there really is something amazingly supernatural about spiritual gifts. See, if you don't believe it, just look at me. I'm a motorhead. I lived and breathed drag racing. And most of you know that I didn't come from a churched family. And I had major struggles in my marriage. And when I first got saved, I remember being asked to teach a small group of boys who were part of a youth group called Firewire at Oak Brook. I was so scared and nervous to teach this small group. And then I got asked to give a talk at the Kokomo Great Banquet. Oh, no. There is no way that I can do that. The thought of standing up front of about 72 men and talking to them was terrifying. I broke out into a sweat. But once I started preaching and exercising that spiritual gift, I want to tell you that God has done this. So whatever your spiritual gift is, seeking the face of the Lord is more important than seeking some kind of supernatural experience that occurs whenever you exercise your spiritual gifts. See, also, some of us are gifted in certain areas of the church, and we know what we are gifted there. But we find something over here that we think needs to be done, so do you know what we say? I feel so guilty about not doing it or it not getting done. I think I'm going to go over there and do it. And we quit doing what we are gifted to do. See, that causes two problems. Number one, we have vacated what we are gifted to do. And number two, we have stepped into somebody's slot who has been gifted to do that. Because we are trying to do it, they are not going to do it. See, it works so well when everybody knows what their gift is and they use it in ministry. How many of you have taken time to hear the Kokomo Symphony Orchestra? See, this orchestra is about 30 to 40 instruments. They have trombones, tubas, flutes, clarinets, percussion. And when you listen to their music together, you really can't pick out one instrument above the other. Everyone is playing their part, and the result is beautiful music. What a great picture of the church. See, sometimes we think, well, the orchestra is up there on stage and I'm in the audience. No, we are part of the orchestra. We are part of His body. I want to end this afternoon with a poem that is at the very end of the chapter titled, "Rise Up, O Men of God." It says, "Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where His feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." Man, I ask you to discover what your spiritual gift is and begin to use it in ministry. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you so much. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given us, those supernatural abilities. And Lord, I pray that if someone don't know, that's here, that doesn't know what their gift is, Lord, I pray that you will allow